your Bibles and turn to Genesis 35. We continue to make our way verse by verse, chapter by chapter through the book of Genesis. We'll get through 35 and 36, and we're going to take a break. It'll be Resurrection Sunday time and Palm Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, and then we're going to go back to 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and then we're going to come back to Genesis 37, and Lord willing, and Jesus doesn't come back, we're going to finish Genesis through 50, okay? Then after that, we'll be in the Gospel of John. And so if you want to study ahead, read ahead, get your best questions for your pastor and your preaching team, your pastoral team, we'll be glad to see those. And we'll either have the answer or we'll find somebody smarter than us and we'll get you the answer. But one thing I want to just make you aware of before we start in the message, next Sunday, March the 12th, I don't normally do announcements right before my sermon. This is important to me. We'll have our next Explore East class. If you've been thinking about membership, you joined recently, but don't know everything about the church you want to know yet, if you're just, you just really need a free lunch, or about East Leesville Baptist Church, or if you just want a free lunch, okay? I mean, if you just really need a free lunch, you can come to Explore East. But it's mainly for you to learn about the ministries of our church, and we'll talk about, you'll meet all the staff, and you'll hear about all the ministries, and then we'll answer any questions you might have, we'll feed you, we'll have child care for your younger children, your older children can come in there with you, and you'll have opportunity at the end of that class, if you desire, to join our fellowship. We'll walk you through how you can join, and you don't have to, it's not mandatory, it's not like a timeshare thing you show up for or something like that, right? You gotta sign it, and man, it's not going to be a hard sale, it's just going to be us sharing with you. I saw that we had a couple that have already signed up, two new families that signed up before I even got up here to preach, and so if you'll look in your bulletin there, you can sign up at www.elbchurch.org/EE class. You can call me, you can call the office. The only reason we really need you to sign up is childcare and food. And so even next Sunday, there'll still be room. So I hope you'll take note of that and join us for that. And man, if you missed Friday night, I just tell you, I had a blast. I don't know if anybody else worshiped God and had a spell, but I worshiped God and have a spell. I was on the front row, so I couldn't see what was going on behind me. But I had a good time and just great devotions and great music, great time together. And I look forward to another one of those in the future. A great time this morning. Praise the Lord. What he did on the cross and being buried in the grave and rose from the grave gives us the victory. So no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, no matter what's troubling you, no matter what bothers you, no matter what grieves you, our God is able. He can overcome all these things. And his power and the power of his gospel can change us. No matter what we think the world has told us that we need to have, no matter how deep we've gotten ourselves into sin, no matter how troubled we are with what's going on around us, no matter how hard just life is, our God is able. And I think we see some of the ways that we're reminded of this in this text today. Jacob's on his way back to Bethel. He's been journeying from Padan Aram, where he had been with his father-in-law and all of that drama that he dealt with and all the mistakes he made in that season, and yet God is still directing his steps. We get to the text here in chapter 35, and God just reminds him once again that he is his and that he is God in his steps. Look what the text says. God said to Jacob, all right, I'm going to kind of walk through this. You say, man, he only got four words out and he's already stopping. This is going to be a long sermon. Don't miss it. God spoke to Jacob. God said to Jacob. God still speaks. We have two incredible advantages over Jacob. We have the inspired and inerrant word of God that has been reserved and preserved for us. And we have the Holy Spirit of God, God himself, who dwells in us as children of God. You see, some of you, your walk's not where it needs to be. But you're saved. You're saved, but your walk's not where you need to be, and you're a little bit miserable. That's because the Holy Spirit of God dwells in you. When your walk's where it doesn't need to be, the Holy Spirit's going to mess with you. He's going to convict you. Sometimes he calls miserableness because you need repentance and change. But what a great gift. I'm telling you, when I'm sitting with someone who's going through struggles and they're struggling and they're like, there's sin, there's clear sin in their lives, and they're like, preacher, I'm just miserable. I say, well, praise the Lord. What do you mean, praise the Lord? I mean, that means you're probably his. If you were all just filled up and happy, I'd be worried you weren't even saved, but because you're miserable sometimes. Now, don't stay miserable just for the sake of miserableness. That conviction is to draw you to repentance and that you can have joy and victory. But don't miss it. God said to Jacob, after all the mess Jacob has done, he's walking not in perfection, but in consistency with God. And God spoke to Jacob and said, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, make an altar there to God, who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau. So Jacob said to his household and all who are with him, put away the foreign gods that are among you and purify yourselves and change your garments. Then let us arise and go to Bethel so that I may make there an altar to the Lord, to God who answers me in the day of my distress and has been with me wherever I have gone. So they gave to Jacob all the foreign gods that they had and the rings that were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the terebinth tree in there that was near Shechem. And as they journeyed, a terror from God fell upon the cities that were around them so that they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. Look what happens here. God speaks to Jacob, but Jacob listens. Jacob obeys. He returns to where he first genuinely encountered God. Sometimes we got to go back to those moments where we know we encountered God. When you feel distant, when you feel like you're not where you need to be in your walk with the Lord, you need to go back to those places, those things that you know draw you near to God. But also you need to turn away from those things that take you away from God. When they left Laban, this has probably been somewhere between 8 and 10 years ago, they left Laban. Remember his wife Rachel took the household gods, and Laban was like, somebody stole my gods, and Jacob didn't even know about it. And you would have thought that they'd have put them things away then, but they've been holding on to some of the world, like a lot of Baptists do. I want God in my corner, but I kind of want these things too, just in case. Listen, God's got to be all and everything. He's a jealous God. He will not be one of your gods. And you walk with any level of victory. And so Jacob, recognizing there's got to be some changes that take place here. He had him put away all ungodly things, anything that was contrary to God's plan and way. And here's the reality. Some live one way during the week and want to be seen differently on Sunday. But we must put away any patterns of the world. If we're going to genuinely walk with God, we must put it away, anything that dishonors God, any action, any decision, any type of pattern, any type of habit. If we're going to have God's hand, God's favor on us, we need to put them away like Jacob had his family put away the foreign gods. I don't know why they gave him the earrings. I think in some way I've been kind of studying this. Earrings aren't bad, ladies. You're all right. You're fine. Even dudes, you want earrings, that's your business. But I was just scared to get a hole punched in my ear. Amen. You all right? But somehow, some way, these were connected to the worship of pagan gods. So if your earrings say, hail to Zeus or something, you probably want to get rid of those. If your earrings declare, you know, the devil's king or something, right? That's contrary. So there's some way of paganism connected to these. It's not saying you shouldn't ever wear earrings. Now, you can find some churches that's the whole sermon today. That's not the sermon today, right? And so, but they put away anything that did not bring glory to God. You know what you need to do is have an inventory of your life and what are the things that do not bring glory to God, and you need to put them away. And some of them are obvious because the Bible says it's sin, it needs to be put away. Some of them are not so obvious, but it's distracting you from your walk with God, and God says, I want you to put it away. Now, you got to avoid legalism. Don't get legalistic. If the Bible doesn't call it sin, but God tells you you need to get rid of it, doesn't mean that everybody else has got to get rid of it. There's a few things God told me to get rid of this week that I've gotten rid of, but I'm not going to tell you. You've got to get rid of it. I will tell you it's been refreshing since I got rid of it, but that's between you and the Lord. If you want to know what they are, you can ask me. I'll tell you. You know, but it wasn't anything crazy, just stuff that I said. I just felt the Lord. It wasn't an audible voice. It wasn't like a burning bush. It's just like, man, this is just a waste of my time. Get rid of it. He told me another one this morning. And I didn't even start using it again until yesterday. And so just get rid of whatever God tells you to get rid of, get rid of it. I promise you. He's not going to tell you to get rid of Jesus. He's not going to tell you to get rid of the things of the Word. He's not going to tell you to get rid of things that are good for you. And I'm just telling you, you know, now if he tells me to get rid of bacon, well, praise the Lord. I think he just told me to get rid of bacon. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ooh, at least for a season. Anything that does not draw you near to the Lord, it needs to go. It needs to go. It needs to go. Jacob, not only did they hide them, they left them there. They didn't just put them in the back of the U-Haul or back where they, you know, in a storage closet on the new home. They didn't just say, hey, we're not going to use these things anymore. They hid them by the tree there and they left them and never to be picked back up again. Some of y'all need to leave some things behind. If you're going to walk right with God. And then look in verse 5. I love verse 5. God surrounded them. And as they journeyed, a terror from God fell upon the cities that were around them so that they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. Listen, I would tell you that there was a fear that the people had in the area of what had happened, that the people of Jacob had killed all the men of the city of Shechem. But I promise you, there would have been a nature in that culture that they wanted to destroy Jacob and his family, but God put a terror in them. It kind of reminded me of that Michael W. Smith song, that this is how we fight our battles. It may feel like I'm surrounded, but I'm what? I'm surrounded by you. I promise you, you walk with God, God's got your back. He's got your front, and he's got your left, and he's got your right. But when you walk with the world, you're leaving God behind. He's still just one step away. He's still there. He doesn't disappear. But you. So here's the deal. If I was somebody famous, I'm just infamous, but I'm not famous. But if I had a bodyguard on my left and a bodyguard on my right and a bodyguard in the front and a bodyguard in the back that nobody could touch, that nobody could mess with, and somebody was threatening to kill me, it's my fault when I get out of the circle. It's on me when I step out of the protection. And God wants to walk with you that way. And I promise you, he's better than any bodyguard that you could ever have. He'll guide and protect your steps. You may feel like you're surrounded, but you'll recognize you're surrounded by him. That's my prayer for each and every one of you, that day by day you are wrapped up in God so much to the point that the world can't touch you. And when the world tries to, God reminds you that you are his. And Jacob's reminded that he is his, even in all the mistakes that he's made, even in all the bad decisions he's made, even in all the sin that he and his family have walked in. God walks with them, and so we see God speak, we see Jacob hear, Jacob obey, Jacob turn away from the things of the world, and Jacob walks with God. Next, I want you to see this in beginning in verse 6 through verse 8. Look at the text. And Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel. The house of God is what Bethel means, which is in the land of Canaan. This is where Jacob saw God in the vision, where he's climbing up the ladder in between there and heaven. And Jacob said, man, surely God is in this place. Jacob came to Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan, he and all the people who were with him. And there he built an altar. Why? Because God told him to. And he's going to worship. And he called the place El Bethel. That's the house of God, the place of God. Because there God had revealed himself to him when he had fled from his brother. And then here's a little bit of a side. It seems random, but it's in the text. And Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried in an oak below Bethel. So he called its name Alon Bakuth. That means oak of grief, a place of grieving. We see a time of worship, and we see a time of mourning. He built an altar. Remember what God had done for him? Remember God had told him to worship him. We are made. You are created to worship your God. We like to worship ourselves, but we're created to worship our God. He buries Deborah. This is Rebecca's nurse. It was probably Rebecca. Deborah had been that nurse that was kind of Jacob's nanny, Jacob's caregiver as he was younger. Then when Jacob had fled from his family, most likely Deborah would have stayed with Rebecca. Many believe that Deborah had brought the news to Jacob that Rebecca had died, and Deborah just stayed with Jacob. And now Deborah dies, and this is a nanny. This child probably would have seen her like another mother or like a grandmother or an aunt, like a close family member, but really was the last remaining tie between Jacob and Rebekah, his mother. And so I believe Jacob grieved this death. They buried her under the oak tree. It's a reminder. Life happens. Death happens as we walk with God. Jacob has seen things come on him because of his own bad decisions. Jacob has seen things happen to his family because of others' bad decisions. Jacob has seen things happen on his family just because we live on a fallen side of eternity. And we must always turn back into God. He worships God, and it's a time of mourning. Then the last of what we're going to cover today between 9 and 15 really is just a renewal of God's promises. Look here with me. In the text beginning in verse 9, God appeared. Really, the Hebrew there gives the idea of God had appeared. God had appeared to Jacob again. Besides this time when God said, go to Bethel, there was another time it appears that God had appeared to Jacob. Probably happened even before the journey, as Jacob was making his plans or on the way to the journey. But somewhere else, God appeared to Jacob when he came from Padan Aram and blessed him. And God said to him, your name is Jacob. No longer shall your name be called Jacob, but Israel shall be your name. So he called his name Israel, and God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall come from your own body. The land that I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I will give to you, and I will give the land to your offspring after you. Then God went up from him in the place where he had spoken with him, and Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he had spoken with him, a pillar of stone. He poured out a drink offering on it and poured oil on it, and so Jacob called the name of that place where God had spoken with him, Bethel. In the same place, in the same journey that God had appeared to Jacob when he fled from his brother Esau, now God appears to him again, reminding him of his promises, renewing his promises. It's time, God tells Jacob, it's time to move away from the old self, Jacob, and in this case, he gives him a new name. My friends, you don't have to have a new name, but you best have a new creation. There was a time when you did not belong to Jesus, and you might have acted or done a certain way, and now that you belong to Jesus, we ought to live and act the way that honors God. Not in perfection, but in consistency. In recognizing God's way is the best way, God's plan is the best plan, and to walk outside of that plan is contrary to our good, and it is sin. And Jacob is reminded of these promises. What are the conditions of the promises? It's the same ones that God's made the whole time. He says, God Almighty. That word there in the Hebrew is El Shaddai. God says, I'm God Almighty. What I'm telling you, I will make happen. I get promises from people sometimes, or people tell me they're going to do things sometimes, and because of their past actions, I don't have any great confidence they're going to do what they said they're going to do. I may or may not be speaking of a particular contractor. But when God says he's going to do something, and we recognize God's history and God's pattern and God's reputation, and he is El Shaddai, he is all-powerful, we can trust that God is going to do what he says he's going to do. Now, here's the issue. God doesn't work on our timetable, and God doesn't work the way we think he ought to work. God's God, we're not. He's God. Amen? But we can trust him. And so he says, be fruitful and multiply. Why? Because God says, I'm going to make more out of your lineage than you can count in the stars in the heavens and on the sands of the seashore. That really came out. You know what I meant. Amen? I've been working on enunciation because sometimes people hear things that I did not intend for them to hear. But praise the Lord. A nation and a company of nation will be born out of his people. Kings shall come from his own body. The word there really is his loins. There'll be kings that rise up. And there's going to be some kings, but there's also going to be the King of Kings that comes from these promises. And the land that was promised to Abraham and Isaac will be Jacob's. Now here's the reality. None of this land has yet been given to them, but God's speaking as if it is already done. Can I tell you, the promises of God in your life are already, even if they're not yet. I want you to understand that. What God has promised you is already. It's already done, completed, fulfilled, even if it has not yet happened. You hear me? I have a home in heaven. I have a home that's been given to me in heaven. Already, but not yet. I will live eternally with Jesus. I will never have to face sin, death, and the grave again. And it's already, but not yet. It's as if it's already completed. Because if God said it, you can count on it. But between now and the completion, between now and when there's no longer a not yet, may we live lives worthy of the calling of Christ Jesus on our lives. He renews the promises. Let me give you three takeaways and I'm done. Number one, we should do as Jacob. If we're going to walk with God, we should put away our sin and leave it behind. I can't do it for you. You can ask my advice. You can ask for me to come along in encouragement and accountability in whatever manner that I can, I will. But if we're going to walk right with God, we must put away known sin. And we must ask God to search and see. Search me and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way in me and show me if there's any devious way that I might walk in his path. We need to ask him to show us. And when he shows us something, we need to obey it immediately. Preacher, I kind of don't want to let go of that. Then you like that more, you love that more than you love God. That is the false idols you need to put away. Some things I think God will ask you to put away forever. Some things I think God might ask you to just put away for a season because he needs your attention. We should put away any known sin or anything else the Lord tells us to leave behind. Number two, when we walk with God, he can protect us even when we do not walk perfectly. There is no part of this story of Jacob that we said, man, that dude walks perfect with God, and I know you well enough that none of you in this room and nobody standing on this platform walks perfectly with God. But if we'll walk with God, we can trust and protect us and guide our steps. Number three, I'm going to camp here a little bit because this is where God's been working on me. God still speaks to his people. But we must make sure we are listening. God still speaks. If you are a child of God, I believe with all my heart, God speaks directly to you to direct your steps. I'm not trying to get all mystical or over-spiritualize it, because we do. We have the gift of the Word of God, and we have the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. These are huge advantages. But are we listening? Are we listening? Are we listening? I was on the way to the hospital or somewhere, and I like to listen to podcasts. And I was listening to a podcast by a pastor by the name of Robbie Gallaty. He's a pastor of a church in Tennessee that in 2021, they went through about a six-month season of revival. Large church, baptized normally about 120, 150 people a year. That's a great ministry. Averaging a couple thousand every Sunday, just a great ministry. But God was just doing a work in that pastor's heart. And over about a six-month period, they baptized 1,600 people. Over 100 in one Sunday, and then just it was just a season of revival that lasted for about 6 months. And Robbie was sharing just how God had worked in his life, and God had used one particular verse just to make Robbie change some things. And I'm telling you, it's stirring in me. And the verse is Psalm 46:10. God still speaks, but are we listening? Psalm 46:10 is this: "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." If we were to take a survey and every one of us were to be honest, I would say 80% in this room would not be able to tell you the last time they were still for more than 5 minutes and not asleep. Or that your mind was actually still. And that all distractions were turned off. And even put out of reach. As I stand before you today, there's no major unconfessed sin in my life that you would find out about, because they've all been dealt with, most of them a long time ago. There's still a little bit of impatience and anger. I don't even have near as much road rage as I used to. Too busy trying to avoid potholes. Worry about anybody else's driving. There's a humdinger in the movie parking lot, just telling you. I got a new tire to prove it. Amen. You all right? But just don't run through any mud puddles, because they usually got a 3-foot hole underneath them. Just saying. But God is yelling at me to be still so I can hear him, to put away some things that are not sin. They're not sin. They can be sinful. They can be used sinfully, but they're just tools, they're just resources, so that I can hear him. And then I don't know what effect it's going to have, because I can't fake emotion, but I'm telling you, there was just a little prayer that Robbie shared in that podcast, and I walked through it, and I'm remembering it right now, because it was real. I felt the Lord's presence deeply, and it's just something, I haven't done it since on purpose, just because I wanted to do it again in front of you today. And the second service might get robbed of the effectiveness a little bit, because sometimes on the second service I just feel like I forgot to say something and I'm just repeating everything I said before, right? You know what I'm saying? Just have to kind of reset. But here it was. Take Psalm 46:10 and just be still. And I'm just going to use that first part, but I really think you can add, "I will be exalted among the nations, I'll be exalted on the earth," and just kind of walk it back like this. But here's what he said: "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know Be still. Be. It took me 45 seconds. But I don't know that I had been that still for 45 seconds in months. So I want to challenge you. It's not some mantra, it's not some prayer that God's got to show you. It's scripture. It's God's word. Find you a place somewhere today. Without the TV, without the phone, without the calendar. Asking the Lord to make it even without everything that's got to get done this week. And be still. And listen. Guys, I know it doesn't sound incredibly manly. I know it does. It's just, but be still. Pray with me. Musicians, come. As you sit right where you are you satisfied with your walk with God? Or do you want more of Jesus? As you sit right where you are, what are those things God would show you that need to change for you to be right with God? As you sit right where you are, what does God want you to put away? What does God want you to put on? As you're walking through this journey called life, God's speaking. Are you listening? Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be what God and who God would have you to be. Lord, may you have your way in this place today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we